السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brother Ahmad Parak, once again, marhaban to our program. And we must apologize, maaf, you know, for that little glitch that we had. So let us begin with any new developments, you know, regarding the kafan and the dafan.
Firstly, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Saturday morning. Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with another beautiful Saturday morning. Alhamdulillah. The nasheed you played, Maulana, you know, that is our favorite nasheed on a Saturday morning. It was played always with our late brother Shafat Khan. Allah give him Jannat al-Firdaus. And if you hear that nasheed, we are just like travelers in this world, ya Maulana. We will come. How many has come and has left this dunya, Maulana? If you, you know, all the prominent alims, I remember, you know, just after COVID, we lost just under 100 top alims of this country to, you know, real top alims. You know, they took whatever knowledge they had, they took it with them as well. So, you know, that is a big issue that we have in the country, that we have lost top alims in the country, you know, from Spingo Beach, all over the country. We had top alims. Most of them I knew at first hand as well. So we have lost them, you know. That's why the nasheed says, you know, we are like travelers in this dunya. We come and we go, Maulana.
So, yeah, this is also, you know, mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah azza wa jalla will take away knowledge by taking the ulama. You know, we are heading for times when we don't really have real erudite scholars, you know, profound scholars.
So for us, the Dafan Kafan, alhamdulillah, we lost a very, very good friend. I think you might know him too. Iqbal Khan, who was a sports journalist, you know, people used to look forward for his, especially with his cricket commentary and the journalism he was doing on the independent newspaper. We lost him on Wednesday. On Thursday, actually, we lost a very, very good top journalist in the city. Iqbal Khan passed away as well. So, Maulana, Allah give him Jannat al-Firdaus. He was a very close friend of mine too. Whenever I needed anything from the independent newspapers to get it into the papers to make sure that we are heard, he was always there to assist me as well. So, you know, people are, you know, they're all top people are going away who, you know, brought value to the city, value to the Muslim community. So, you know, Allah knows best. And, you know, the time is up. You have to go, Maulana.
There was that article about, you know, neighborhood watches that are taking the law. It seems from the way that article is written that there are neighborhood watches that are taking the law into their own hands. Now, of course, we know that crime is so rife in this country that people are frustrated, and further, you know, the law enforcement are, we would say, incapacitated to handle the amount of crime. So there was an article about neighborhood watches taking the law into their hands. Now, is there any body that regulates neighborhood watches, you know, that way a neighborhood watch would have to register? And are there protocols and procedures that they have to follow when making a citizen's arrest? You know, is like regulations like what weapons they can carry, and to what extent they can use force, etc. Could you just explain things like that to us? And in that way, we will enlighten our neighborhood watchers on their powers.
Jee, Maulana, neighborhood had procedure was put many years ago by the government to make sure that you know, each area can look after itself and make it easier for the South African for South African police force. Now the issue here has come, you know, people have now taken the law into their own hands, and I don't blame them one bit for that, because firstly, when you phone your nearest police station, 9 out of 10, they don't answer. Secondly, even if they answer, they will tell you that we don't have a vehicle, so we cannot come now. By the time the damage has been already done, your house has been cleared, somebody has been stabbed, somebody has been murdered, then only they come after the show. So that is, was one of the issues that it kind of came up in this workshop as well. Now, neighborhood watch, it is legal with the CPF as well. The thing is this, it is regulated. It has to be properly done. You know, your ratepayers association must get involved. The South African police gets involved there. The Metro police gets involved as well as the SAPSAP get involved. And the CPF have to get involved there. So they form a structure. They say, okay, fine. This area of Bria, we will look after. It falls under what? 47 or whatever, whichever ward, and that's how it is. And they invite the nearest police station commander to come and assist. There is regulations in terms of all this, how it's been formed, what the SAP can do, what the Metro can do. They can do, like recently, we will be engaging with the Metro Police as well as the SAPS. We want to clean up all the in the park here, as well as in the street corners where they, all these guys are begging, all that. So we have put something in place with the Bria Police Station. We have engaged with the Colonel there, Colonel Blood. We engaged with the Metro Police, with them to say that this is what we want to do. So they will set up one evening, and we don't tell them which evening it will be, and then we will go clean up the whole entire area. What happens is, when we clean up, they'll go and they'll come back again. That is the only issue we will be finding. But once we start doing that, and then what you need to do is bring all your security companies on board as well. If you take where I live in the Musgrave area, we got 12 security companies. And all these businesses, the houses have been protected, all the apartments have been protected by various different security companies. So we invited them. We said, all come on board, and we would then adopt a street with the Metro Police, with the SAPS. We said, this is how we want to go about. And you, and whenever they do the raid, the SAP or the Metro Police must be there. Then you can do that citizen arrest or whatever you want to do. You engage with the government in this form where you invite the SAPS and the Metro to say, this is what you want to be doing. And at the moment, as we speak, General Konazi is a very close friend of mine. I work with him very, very closely. They have got a mandate from national now. They are cleaning up. Now they're not talking anymore. You can see whenever they're going to hijacking and all that, how many in this 1 week, they killed about 12 people already. Once you open fire at them, they don't hesitate anymore. That's the mandate has come from national. They put the bullet for you and that's it. And that's what they are doing at the moment. And in fact, this is sending a very, very clear message to the public, to all these guys who want to do hijack, going into, like yesterday I heard a friend of mine send me a clip in Chatswood Center. Those guys too, they were caught in Amlazi somewhere. So this is what is happening at the moment. They are not talking anymore. They are talking with a bullet. And I think if this is what they are going to do, and setting a proper precedent to the community and telling those thieves that are going and breaking into cars and hijacking and breaking into stores and everything else, they're going to be nabbed very, very quickly. If you see in the last, from April, they have done like something 11,000 arrests. So that is, you know, they're moving on the right direction at the moment. And they brought in a further 1,500 additional members to join the police force. So all this is now starting to pay dividends, that now to make it safer, because just on the tourism side or even the Metro Council, we brought this up here. We're losing by the millions and billions. Tourists are not coming to Durban. They all only want, they're only talking about Cape Town, and they don't want to come to Durban, and that is the problem. So therefore, we're saying now we clean up from the beachfront all the way up, and we clean it up once and for all. And this is what they are doing, Munaha.
I'm reading just now in an X account of this one person, you know, besides losing on tourists and whatever else, this person writes, it costs 16,082 rand per month of taxpayer money to keep a prisoner in South Africa. That's 193,020 rand per year. And then she's got a picture of this one cop called Lord Makhwanazi. This year alone eliminated 50 criminals. He saved the taxpayer 9.65 million rands. So a lot of the taxpayers' money is also going there. And I heard that prisoners are not taken to public hospitals because it's easier to escape from a public hospital. When they require, you know, medical treatment, they're taken to private hospitals. Is this true?
Very rare we normally take them to public or private hospital because every prison is already geared up or they've got a prison ward and they have got doctors there, they've got nurses there who look after them. If you need especially chronic medication and if they've got any chronic diseases or anything like that. So far as that is concerned, that has been taken care of. But what was happening there, you know, the mafia, you know, all prisons were run by like mafia. Now the new minister of prison has come in. He started to clean up. As you see, in the last week, he cleaned up from Sun City Prison right up to, he's coming right through it and he's starting to clean up. Now they were having their own ways there in terms of having cell phone, drugs, and everything was happening. And then most of these things, the prison warders were involved. So now he's not talking. He suspends you and he takes you out of there. And he goes and puts you into another prison where you will be, where it is very far from you and all that. Take it or leave it. And that's the attitude they are using. And in fact, I think the new GNU government, you know, although I'm not 100% sure whether they're going to last till December, but they're trying their best now to say that, you know what, we've got absolutely nothing to lose. We have to pick things up. Otherwise, we won't be here in the next 5 years. So that's where everybody's fighting for survival, and that's what's happening at the moment. They're starting to clean up from one side now at the moment.
Now, coming back to crime, it seems like this week is just going to be about crime. And a person from the Department of Home Affairs, one of the officials, was sentenced to 35 years imprisonment by Durban Specialized Commercial Crimes Court for involvement in a large-scale fraudulent passport scheme. You know, is this problem going to be solved just by putting one person behind bars? Because most certainly, you know, this it can't be just this one person involved here.
Right. Well, as far as that is concerned, there's a syndicate in Amgeni Road, in all the Home Affairs. Now, the main players in the syndicate are the Pakistani, Bangladesh, and all that. You see, Maulana, when you pay, you know, when you give somebody 3,000 rands, now, when you give him 3,000 rands, now he's greedy. Now he goes and bring more clients. Then the prices goes up. It goes right up to 15,000. I know, my one nephew told me, his wife, you know, he married an Indian girl from India. And then, he's got legitimate. He showed me all the paperwork and all. He said, uncle, I have got one. Somebody has phoned me, and I don't know how he picked up my name. He says, I can give you your paperwork in 2 days. Give me 20,000. I said, you don't give him nothing. As far as I'm concerned, you went and did it with VHS. You did it the legal way. They can't deport your wife. You got two children here. They're in Alfala school. They can't do you anything. You are legal. There's a documentation you have got. There's a receipt there. They can't do you anything. Only thing she won't be able to, if you're going overseas, you can't take her now because she hasn't got renewed documents. That's all. But legally, she is here legally. Why go and pay the 20,000 there? He said, no, uncle, you're right. And I told him not to pay. And then I made inquiry at Home Affairs. It is in the system. He said this in the next 4 weeks he will get his papers. So why won't pay 20,000 rand? So this is where these Pakistanis and Bangladesh and the inside at home affairs, they want to make gold money here, and they are greedy, and that's how they get caught. And most of them, even in Amgeri Road, we know quite a few that are under investigation. So they're closing their net on all this here. My plea is with the Home Affairs, and I brought it to the DG of Home Affairs, they need to review this whole system of this issuing of visas, issuing of permanent residence, and I think they need to go back and make sure from 1994 they have to, you know, they're going to, obviously, they're thinking of changing the IDs again. So, obviously, I think there is a new system that will be coming out, and they're looking at it, how they do your eye contact, they take, and now they're doing biometric. So, with this year, even you're 100% right. The guys were paying South Africans in dollars and rand to just go and under somebody else's name and go do biometric, you know, with the contact with the mafia style, they do work. So those guys have all been caught now. So the syndicate has been broken, and now is the time everything is going to come. So those guys, they, before they get even caught, these Pakistanis and all, some of them already left the country because they know they are going to get caught. So most of them, the syndicate has been broken. And there will, you'll see in the next 2-3 weeks, a lot of arrests coming through, Mara.
Okay, a little bit more of bad news and then positive news. What's the story with this person, Mr. Andile Gobinsa? You know, his appointment to the position of secretary to the Johannesburg municipality and getting a salary of 2 million rand a year. There is a lot of objection towards that, I see.
Well, our policy is very, very, very loud and clear regarding any appointment at any level in government, whether it's national government, province, as well as in the municipality. You can't take a top position, either as a speaker, mayor, deputy mayor, or the leader of a caucus for the whole council, or a secretary in a department, or the secretary of the speaker. You can't take a person without the proper due diligence, without the proper documentation. And if you don't have the qualification, how can you employ somebody for 2 million rand? And then how are you going to get your work done? And secretary is like an engine in any organization. That person must know how to do things, and it makes the person the CEO or the mayor, the secretary, the engine room of any government component. So that's where we are. We are very, very stringent with when it comes to the appointment of any top position, unless it has been checked properly. And if we feel that it is not right, we will object for it. And that's what we did in Joburg as well.
Okay, now for the positive news. I read a headline. Eskom forecasts no load shedding in summer of 2024, says Ramagopa. South Africans could potentially enjoy a summer season without experiencing load shedding as Eskom is showing improvement. Now, does this mean, have we reached the end of the tunnel? You know, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, Molana, and no. The first question, very positive. Yes, we will be able to generate more electricity for this winter and summer till the 24th. But at the same token, we are still waiting for a lot of charge that is coming from overseas. And that's where our problem is, because when you're closing one power station down, whether we'll be able to generate for the whole country, that is a debatable thing, and that's what they are debating at the moment. So, but the good news is they have brought it, and there's one power station from A to Z, they have sorted that out, that is giving us enough power to generate for now. But what about the other stations that need proper maintenance. Now, that's where our problem is. So now they are juggling between all the power stations. So they're going to patch, and they say, okay, fine. We got more than enough. We close this whole power station up and renew the whole thing again, like how they did for the two that is helping them. And that's eventually what will happen. And providing they maintain it on a regular basis, we will then have all the power stations properly generated, properly, as well as new spares are being ordered, and that it will be up and running properly.
Jazakumullah, Brother Ahmad, for your valuable contribution on this Saturday morning. And once again, we apologize for the technical glitches that we had at the beginning. And inshallah, we will talk again next Saturday morning. You will, inshallah, also get the podcast during the course of this day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.